Good morning. Wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We have got a few announcements this morning, so let me go over those with you. We still have the sign up out in the back to work in the pumpkin patch. If you haven't done that, please do so. It is such a blessing to work in the pumpkin patch. We came up yesterday morning, and I never saw so many little ones in the pumpkin patch. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing to watch. Wonderful. We are having a fundraising committee meeting that's meeting tomorrow night, Monday, at 6 here at the church. Communications meets Tuesday at 6:30. There's also SBA Tuesday at 7. Our church-wide breakfast is coming up this Saturday, the 25th, from 9 to 11. All come. It's just based on donations, folks, and it's wonderful. We've got every variety of breakfast that you can imagine. We've got pancakes, eggs, sausage, bacon. I did my sausage gravy and then Diane did biscuits. It went, didn't it? I mean, it went. By the time 10 o'clock rolled around 11, I had to figure out making more. We've got executive council tonight at 6:30. Coming up on October 3rst, we'd like everybody here in front of 15 to be here in the trunk retreat. If you haven't, I'm telling you what, that is a wonderful thing. All of the people from the community come up, the kids. It's such a better way, it's a safer way for our kids and our community to come get candy. And it's a blessing to them because there's other things that we hand out. So if you've never done that, please do so. Just bring a couple bags of candy and give it out to the kids coming up. We have a council planning retreat November 1st, 11:03. Please RSVP for that. Lunch will be served today. There is a church-wide day on November 8th be put on by the trustees starting at 8. And the church conference is November 16th at 3. Okay, some additional announcements here. Volunteers are needed to adopt one of the nativity scene pieces. You know, it was done every year. We've always done nativity here in the front of the church. Each one of us needs to take one of those pieces and just kind of doctor it up, make sure that the lights are working properly on it. That's all you got to do is just check it out, make sure it's working. The lights and the clips will be provided, and the adoption date is on the 25th when we have our breakfast, and they said to see Larry Rood for more details about that. Starting in November, we'll be working to get the United Methodist Men's Group active again, and the agenda will be discussing ideas for service projects. The date of the meeting will be announced. I'd also like to bring your attention to the prayer and praise cards that are in your pews. Once you fill those out, just lay those in the offertory plate as it goes by. Also, if you've done some type of benevolence during the week for a coworker, your community, neighbor, whatever, place this in the offertory plate as it goes by. And then we also have our registration here in the pews. Please let us know that you've been here this morning. Miss Betty, I think you have an announcement for us. Amen. And also, too, that service that we do on Fridays to give out food, that is a wonderful blessing and a service for our church. And we need to pray about that and continue to do that in whatever way we can. I mean, even though we might get that food, all of us need to be bringing up stuff here. Canned goods, peanut butter, jelly, all those items these people desperately need. We feed so many on a Friday, and the families, it just breaks your heart. So, you know, but all we can do, there's so much that we can do as well. Any other announcements this morning? All right, thank you, Bob. Oh, praise the Lord. Wow. Which meeting now? Oh, okay. Yeah, it says executive council kind of 6:30. Okay, so it's everyone. Okay. All right, that was a correction on the council meeting tonight. It is everyone that wants to attend the council meeting tonight at 6:30. Any other announcements this morning? It is now time to do our opening words. And since I'm standing up here, I think you guys ought to stand. Creator Spirit, breathe on us. Creator God, mold us into being. Creator Spirit, move in us. Creator God, show us the way. Creator Spirit, lead us to the path. Creator God, help us to follow your Son. Anointed One, call us to fish for peace. Messiah, Appointed One, gather us to you in this time of worship. Amen. You may see it. Well, no, stay standing.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymns to page 399, we'll sing Take My Life and Let It Be. Turn to page 889 for the affirmation of faith.
There is one God, and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit,
seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen.
As the children come forward to the altar. All right, we got a crowd today. We have a big crowd. Oh, it is so wonderful to see you all today. In a minute, we'll get to the candy. Not right yet. In a minute, I promise. First of all, can anybody tell me what this says? What does it say, John? Thank you so much. What is this? A card? And what does it say on the inside? You couldn't have been more thoughtful. This is a thank you card. What do you do with a thank you card? You give it to somebody. And why do you do that? What, John? To say thank you. It's important for us to say thank you because we have received a lot of good things from a lot of different people. Who would you like to say thank you to? Your mom? Okay. And what about you? Who do you want to say thank you to? To Grayson? You want to say thank you to Grayson? Oh, okay. And who do you want to say thank you to today? Who is that? Marcel? Okay. All right. Who else do we want to say thank you to? Anybody else do we want to say thank you to? We have a lot of people to thank. I want to thank everybody out there, and you, because you make up this wonderful church family that we call Calvary, and I appreciate you and your faithfulness so very much, and I want to remember to say thank you to you. Because this is not my church. This is God's church. And we're all working together for God. And that's the main person we need to remember to say thank you to, is God. And that's why we come here today. That's why we worship. Because we feel that everything we've been receiving our whole lives, all the wonderful things that we enjoy in life, all come from God. And we are so grateful to God for his many blessings. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. We thank you, dear God. Help us to remember to say thank you to our families and our friends, our teachers and our loved ones and those who mean the most to us. And most of all, help us to remember to say thank you to you because you have given us everything that we have and we are so grateful for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. And are we thankful for candy? All right. One. Will the ushers please come forward for our tithes and offerings this morning? Gracious and loving God, you are the author of every good and perfect gift. We praise your holiness. We praise your goodness. And ask that you continue to shower your blessings upon us as we live lives of humble gratitude for your promises to us. Bless this church and every giver. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. may be seated. Song to go into these moments of meditation and prayer as we spend some time praying to God this morning. I need to bring you some information that Barbara Taylor asked me to share with you today. You may have seen on the news that her little child was run over and killed by a car accident this weekend, and that was Barbara's great grandnephew, and his name is Blake Carter. I think he was 3 years old. Just his siblings are young age, and they request your prayers today. And also, I have my own prayer for Edna Jones this morning, who has put up a good long fight and is not bouncing back this particular time. She's been in the hospital, so we want to remember her and her family as they struggle with what to do next. And I invite you then to close your eyes, to focus not on me or my voice, but on your God. And pray to God. And offer your prayer, whether aloud or silently, for a place in the world, a situation in life, or the name of someone that you would like God's particular healing touch to surround today in a very special way. All parents who suffer the loss of a child. Morrell Robinson. All of this, dear God, and so much more, we lift up into your hands. O Jesus, our friend and companion in life, in death, and resurrection, call us into your way of life today. Guide us away from the ways of the world that tempt us to focus only on ourselves and our own gain. Keep us from the temptation to put ourselves above others, but instead open our minds to step into another's shoes, to see through others' point of view. May we be open today to new ways of thinking, so that we might be reconciled and restored to one another. We pray, lead us in your ways of serving, so that we might participate in your kingdom here on earth. In your precious name we pray, and in your words we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to page 170. We'll sing, Oh, How I Love Jesus.
There is a name I love.
Because it burns.
for this morning are found from 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show difference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As I mentioned in the beginning, today is Lady Sunday, and before I invite Robin to come and share with us her wonderful message, which I've already heard and know what you're in store for, I want to mention to you about lay servants and what lay servant ministry is. And I would ask that all of those who are lay servants come and stand before us this morning so that we might know who you are and greet you and learn a little bit about you. Bring your hymnal when you come, because we're going to pray together at the end. Will the lay servants in our congregation come forward? J.D., you want to come up? I'm going to read to you a little bit about, we have more than this, actually. We have a number of lay servants. Some were at the first service. In 2012, the General Conference of the United Methodist Church approved legislation to change the name of lay-speaking ministries to lay-servant ministries. The term servant was chosen because it best describes what Jesus told his disciples in John 13 after he himself had performed the duties of the lowliest servant. We are also called to live out our discipleship as servants in leadership. A lay servant is a professing member of a local church or charge who is ready and desirous to serve the church. A lay servant is eager to serve the church, the community, and world. A lay servant is well informed on and committed to the scriptures and the doctrine, heritage, organization, and life of the United Methodist Church. A lay servant is trained in witnessing the Christian faith through the spoken communication, church, and community leadership and caregiving ministries. A lay servant is active in the support of the local church. Lay servants are to serve the local church or beyond the local church in any way in which their witness or leadership and service inspires the laity to deeper commitment to Christ and more effective discipleship, including the interpretation of scriptures, doctrine, organization, and ministries of the church. I want to introduce these people to you and have them tell you, if they would like to, what some of their ministry has been as a lay servant in this congregation. Nobody has to go first? Ron, you...
My name is Ron Coleman, and I serve in various capacities in the church on various committees, formerly a church council chairperson. And however God sees fit to call me and how I may be able to serve is what I do as a lay servant.
You name it, I think about it. Well, other than having the pleasure of occasionally getting up in front of the congregation and delivering a message as a lay servant, a former choir member. I'd love to get back up there, but my strength is just not strong enough. One of the greatest pleasures I have in serving is in teaching my Sunday school class.
I am the current chairman of the administrative council, since he was former, in tough shoes to fill. I've done almost everything, started in this church as an usher, and then worked all the way up to chairman of the administrative council. Wow. Done everything. I got a pay raise. They doubled my pay. Yes. Anyway, the best thing is to be able to serve God in every capacity of this church, no matter what it is, from being an usher, from a greeter at the door, to being up here speaking. It's all to worship God.
Well, do we have anything else to say? I think they've said it all, didn't they? But anyway... it is wonderful to serve God and to serve this church and to serve you. And singing in the choir, I've led Sunday school, I have co-led some small groups, and have been chair of committees and am currently helping with the worship committee. And all of it is to glorify God.
Let's see, I've worked in with the youth ministries, tall age, small youth, child group of many years ago. Now I work in the sound room trying to make sure the website has updated sermons on it and help a few other people, make sure they can get on their computers and everything, and just help with the sound as much as I can, and co-chair with the pastor with the nomination committee.
Okay, what's your name?
Oh, by the way, my name is James Bryant. I'm also known as JD.
Why don't we thank them for their service to this church? And now we have the pleasure of going to page 392 in our hymnals, and I'm going to ask that the lay servants pray this prayer together, changing the words me to us, and I, we. Amen. Thank you very much. And now we have the great pleasure of hearing Robin bring us her message for the morning.
Yes, ma'am. Our prayers are certainly with her and her family. Well, good morning, and I am certainly thankful to be here today, and I am certainly thankful for the service that we have already had this morning. My name is Robin Stowers, and I am a certified lay servant in the United Methodist Church. I am honored to be a member and serve here at Calvary, and I am grateful to have the opportunity to speak to you this morning. Well, if you'll look at your bulletins, on the front of them is some coins. So we are getting ready to head into a pretty heavy scripture, so I thought I would lighten things up with a little joke, okay? All right. A very worn $1 bill and a $20 bill arrived at the Federal Reserve Bank to be retired. As they moved along the conveyor belt to be burned, they struck up a conversation. A $20 bill reminisced about its troubles all over the country. He had a pretty good life, the 20 said. Why, I've been to Las Vegas, Atlantic City, the finest restaurants in New York, performances on Broadway, and even a cruise in the Caribbean. Wow, said the $1 bill. You've really had an exciting life. So tell us, the 20, where have you been for your life? The $1 bill replies, oh, I've been to the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Lutheran Church. Well, the $20 bill interrupted him and said, what's a church? You know, nobody likes to talk about money, but this is our scripture this morning, and thank you, Rhonda, for bringing that to us this morning. Well, let's get to the scripture. In the gospel lesson this morning, we have the religious leaders launching an attack against Jesus by putting a carefully formulated question to him regarding paying taxes. I thought it would be helpful for us to get some background on this political situation. Our story starts when the Pharisees team up with Herodians to trap Jesus. What I found interesting here is that those two groups were bitter enemies. You see, the Pharisees were the ultra-conservative Jews who opposed the Roman poll tax. They had better things to do with their money than to give it to Rome. Then we have the supporters of King Herod, called the Herodians. They were in favor of the poll tax. After all, Herod's authority was given to him by Caesar. Now, there were, in fact, three regular taxes imposed by the Roman government at this time. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? Government still the same. First, there was a ground tax, which was to be paid on the grain, oil, and wine that a man produced. Next was an income tax, which was 1% of a man's income. Lots changed. And then there was the poll tax, which had to be paid by every person. It amounted to one denarius, the equivalent of a day's wage. That is what Jesus called the tribute coin, and this is the tax in question. So it's easy to see why the Pharisees and the Herodians chose the poll tax as the bait for their trap, since one was so strongly against and the other was strongly for it. So here was their question. Was it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? If Jesus answered yes, that it was right to pay taxes to Caesar, he would be siding with the Romans against Israel and most Jews, including the Pharisees. Jesus would be considered a traitor. But if Jesus replied that the people should not pay their taxes, the Herodians would brand him an enemy of Rome and have him arrested. It was, so they thought, the perfect trap. But we know our Jesus, don't we? Jesus knew of their evil motives, and it is here that Jesus calls them out as being hypocrites. Jesus says, who are you trying to fool with your trick question? Here, show me the coin that is used for tax. When they hand him the coin, he asks, whose image and title are stamped on it? Caesar's, they reply. Well then, Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to him, but everything that belongs to God must be given to God. Now the Roman coin that Jesus held bore the image of Caesar, therefore it belonged to Caesar. So what's Caesar's? What do we have today that belongs to our government? Well, certainly a portion of our money, like it or not, it's a reality that our ancestors created the kind of government that relies on the portion of our income to function. There you go. Okay. A good Christian has a duty to the government in return for the privileges that the government does provide. If we enjoy Caesar's benefits, we should pay Caesar's taxes. I don't know about you, but I do like having paved roads to drive on. I like my neighborhood being protected by the police and the fire department. Jesus plainly and simply says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Now remember, Jesus finishes his answer with, but everything that belongs to God must be given to God. So here is my question. What belongs to God? Well, I think the answer should be the things that bear his image. Caesar stamped his image on the coin. God has stamped his image on us. The Word of God says in Genesis 1:27, so God created people, that's you and me, in his own image. God patterned us after himself, male and female, he created them. We were all made in his image. We are God's coins. We are God's valuables, bearing God's image to the world. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. In other words, the coin bears Caesar's image. Give back to him. We bear God's image. We should give ourselves back to God. Everything we have and everything we are belongs to God. We are mere managers or stewards of the gifts, including our money. Properly managing our money means some of it goes to the government and to the groceries and to pay the light bill, but some of it must go back to God as a way of giving thanks. Not that God needs our money. There is nothing God needs. God doesn't need our resources to fulfill his plans. The need is with us. We need to give. We need to give in order to combat the powerful influence of materialism in our lives. We give in order to enable the church to do God's work. But most of all, we give because we have been given so much. As Pastor Esther talked with the children this morning, thankful. We should be so thankful for everything that we have because we have all been given so much. We give to say thank you, and just our level of giving should reflect our level of thankfulness. Our giving is an outward sign of our inward condition. It is not just an obligation, but an opportunity for blessing. There is a story of a farmer who was taking a sack full of corn to town to sell. On the way there, the king rides by in a fancy gold chariot. The farmer flagged him down and stopped him and said, "Dear king, you have given me so much through your benevolence and generosity. I wish there was something I could give you." The king said, "Well, I can't do that. I need to sell that at the market, but I can give you 5 kernels. "All right," the king said, "5 from you as a gift." The farmer bought 5 kernels and then finished his trip down. When the farmer got to the market and opened his sack, he found 5 of his kernels had turned into gold. And the farmer wept, realizing that if he had given more, more would have been given to him in return. Whatever we give, we will be so much more richly blessed in return through God's goodness and his love for each of us. Hearts that belong to God rejoice in the opportunity to use what God has given them to worship him. Whether it be by giving of our money, our time, our talents, every Sunday after we do the offering, we sing, "Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures flow." We are those creatures. So who do we receive the blessing of our life, and to whom do we owe thanksgiving, God or Caesar? Like the coin has two sides, we have two sides. We have Caesar's image, or the world's image, on one side, and God's image on the other. What belongs to Caesar and what's to God? Are we living in the world, or are we living for God? So who is Caesar and what with him? In Jesus' day, Caesar was in charge, and he wanted to be worshipped. Caesar represents our money. Or we could say that Caesar represents our worldly side. Are we more concerned with our material assets than our spiritual ones? So what does God want? He wants what belongs to him. He wants our all. Our whole hearts, for I truly believe that if God has our whole hearts, we will give our money. We will use our talents to glorify him, and we will want to grow in his kingdom and bring his kingdom on earth so that the world can see God's goodness and grace. When God created us, he marked us. His picture is stamped on our very souls. When others look at us, whose image are they seeing? Are they seeing the image of a worldly Caesar or a committed Christian? Remember, we are God's coins. We are to bear the image of God in this world to our families, friends, co-workers, and neighbors. They should be able to see Christ's image and inscription on each of us. We are to be the light to this world, the salt of the earth, not just part of the dust. So in closing, I would like to ask this question. Whose image do we bear? Whose picture is stamped on our hearts? May we all be reminded that God loves each one of us. He wants us to give ourselves, our whole selves, not just little pieces. And he wants us to have faith in him, not our money. So my prayer for all of us, for all of the family here at Calvary, is that we would be good stewards, that we would give of ourselves in such a way that it reflects the inscription that is printed on our hearts and on our coins. In God we trust. Amen. Well, at this time, Pastor Esther and I would like to invite you to come to the altar while George plays for us. Please come. Come to the altar and honor God with your hearts.
Now if you all stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing I Exalt Thee.
God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, rest now and abide with each of you as we leave this place. Go in knowledge and love of God and in his peace. Amen.
Thank you.